Welcome back to our incredible journey through the Psalms. Melanie Hurlbut here with Psalm 87. Psalm 86 left us on a cliffhanger. David, after praising God for deliverance from the realm of the dead, had ended the psalm by asking for a sign of God's goodness. God's promise had comforted him, but he wanted a sign, something to demonstrate to him and to his enemies that he had not trusted the Lord's covenant in vain. We all need this sometimes, don't we? God gives us a promise and comforts us with his word and his presence. But then, life takes us on crazy twists and turns, and our journey seems to tell a different story. We need encouragement, a sign of God's goodness that will help us hold on to faith even when others discourage us and the promise is long delayed. So let's dive into Psalm 87, the last psalm from the sons of Korah, to see what sign God will give to David and to us, all God's faithful people who are trusting in God's kingdom promise. Verse 1, he has founded his city on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwellings of Jacob. Here the psalmist gives us our first clue. The Lord's sign has something to do with God's city founded on the holy mountain. We know God's city as Jerusalem. But throughout Book 3 of the Psalms, Jerusalem has been destroyed. And after the 70 years in Babylon, the exiles who have returned have struggled to rebuild and maintain the city. But did you notice the name the psalmist used here for God's city? Not Jerusalem, but Zion. This is Jerusalem's idealized name, used by prophets and psalmists as a signpost pointing forward to God's ultimate city, the place of his coming kingdom rule on earth, with the Lord's presence dwelling forever with his people. God loves the gates of this city, Zion, more than anything else. Why? Because this is where all history is heading, towards the time when all God's people dwell securely with God, on earth as in heaven. So, how will Zion, this place where God dwells, be a sign of God's goodness? Let's pick up the text again in verse 3. Glorious things are said of you, city of God. This is curious. The sign of God's goodness will be glorious things that are said about God's city. So let's pay close attention to what will be said about this place where God dwells with his people. Here it is in verse 4. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me, Philistia too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion. Did you catch all those place names? 5 in all. Rahab, that's a poetic name for Egypt. Then Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Cush, a region south of Egypt along the Upper Nile. These peoples and enemies had all, at some point, been physical and economic enemies of Israel. But the sign of God's goodness will be that God himself will record people from these enemy nations coming to birth in Zion, the city of God. Think about the implications of this for a moment. It will be said that God dwells in Egypt. People will point out specific Egyptians and say, this one was born in Zion. That's amazing. The Apostle Mark is credited with taking the gospel to Egypt in the 40s AD. Those Egyptian believers founded the Coptic Church, one of the oldest Christian churches today. And God is not done calling Egyptians to himself. Let's pray for a new move of God in Egypt today. What about Babylon, whose ancient empire included parts of modern-day Iraq, Syria, and Iran? Over the past 20 years, Iran has been experiencing one of the fastest-growing disciple-making movements in the world. Today, God's goodness to these nations is being loudly proclaimed, as many are being born into God's family, grafted into Israel like the psalmist says, born in Zion. The same will be said of Philistia, a coastal region on the eastern Mediterranean, occupied today by Israelis and Palestinians, and of Tyre, part of modern-day Lebanon, and of Cush, an area including modern-day countries of Ethiopia, Eritrea, South Sudan, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi. The sign God will give of his goodness is that he will proclaim that people of all these nations were born in Zion. Let's return to verse 5. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. In case we didn't hear it the first time, the psalmist repeats himself. Of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. This is incredible. The city where God dwells on earth, as in heaven, becomes a multi-ethnic center that gives new life to Israel's former enemy nations. And so, Zion becomes world-renowned. The Most High himself will establish her. And again in verse 6, the Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. Here it is again. The nations descended from Noah and scattered at Babel because of their arrogance and pride, now are gathered by God himself and brought from death to life, registered as born in Zion. The psalmist has said it now 3 times in 3 verses. How are we to understand it all? Let's stop for a minute here to remember God's calling of Abraham. Abraham's calling showed up in the biblical story right after that long list of the nations and the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. Why there? God wanted Israel to understand that his call of Abraham was central to the Lord's plan to bless all nations and bring them back to himself. And so let's return to Psalm 87. What will be the sign given to David and Israel's faithful that will confirm God's goodness at work in the world? Precisely this, that people from all nations of the world, especially from among Israel's enemies, will come to new birth, marked out as the Lord's people, brought together into one global city of God. The Apostle Paul understood his mission among the Gentiles as proof of this, that God in his faithfulness had raised Jesus, the Davidic Messiah, from the dead, just as he said he would, and in doing so had kept covenant with David and Abraham to bless all nations through the long-promised Son. This should be an encouragement to each one of us to remain faithful to our leg of the race and to proclaim God's salvation to all nations, even those who seem most opposed to God and his ways. The Lord himself has promised to register their names in his record, the Book of Life. And how will the nations respond to this incredible display of the goodness of God? Verse 7. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. Can you picture it? People from all the nations of the world will lift their voices and proclaim to Yahweh, all my fountains are in you. God's plan of redemption through Israel, fulfilled in Jesus, has made the way for his fountain of living water to flow from God's people to all the nations of the world. And so, let's lift up our voices to celebrate the goodness of God, joining with the great multitude that the Apostle John glimpsed in Revelation 7, from every nation, tribe, peoples, and tongues. It's the song of the redeemed. Salvation belongs to the Lamb and to our God who sits on the throne.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.